Let me try to present you over here two different perspectives. What exactly was bothering Korach? Now, on the one hand, well, later in the parasha, what did Korach object to? What was Korach's problem? Korach's problem was Aroin HaKoyim. His argument was, Kol ho'edo kulom kidoishim v'soichem Hashem, u'madua tisnasu al kahal Hashem. No, it's not, actually. It's not. Thank you for... Sorry. U'madua tisnasu al kahal Hashem. Korach's problem was Aroin. That was his main problem. Why is Aroin select? That's at least what he said openly. Why is Aroin selected on to be the Kohen Gadol? By Yikwalu al Moshe v'al Aroin, by Yemri Aleihem, Rav Lochem. Ki chol oido kulam kudosh v'usach Hashem, v'mudu atis nasu al kahal Hashem. Why is Aroin the Kohen Gadol? I should be the Kohen Gadol. That's what it says in the Pasuk. That they challenged the kahuna. That Rashi says that's not really true. That's not really what was bothering him. What was really bothering him, Rashi says, what did he see for this? Rashi calls the shtus. What got Korach excited? That he more raw Korach lachalik im Moshe. So Rashi says something very, very interesting. Where did Rashi get this from? I don't know. You need Ruach HaKodesh for this. And maybe it's a chazal, but it's not in the parasha. Unless you can show me, you can uncover this somewhere. You can show me where this is in the parasha. Rashi says, Niskano al nisiusoy shel elitzafon ben Uziel. This is a person. And you know, this person is not a very prominent person. Does not appear to be in the Torah a very prominent person. He wasn't one of the miraglim. He wasn't a Nasi who went and brought during the Miluim, when they inaugurated the Mishkan. He didn't bring a whole set of Korbanos. He was a person. He was in charge, in fact, of... He was in charge. He was a community leader. He was in charge of 8,600 people. He was the Nasi in Shevet Levi. Levi is breaking up into three parts. There is Kohos, Merari, and what's the third one? How can I forget? Gershon, Kohos, and Merari. He's broken up into three different parts. He was in charge of Kohos. And how the pasuk tells you the number. The Torah in Parashas of Nosoi or Bamidbar, it tells you exactly how many people were there in Kohos. 8,600 people. Now, Klal Yisrael at this time was 603,550. And when it came time to appoint someone to be in charge of 8,600 people, Korach expected, I'm your man. Korach had no expectation to be Moshe Rabbeinu. He had no expectation when Hashem said we got to find a leader to say Pokoi Pokaliti. Korach had no expectation to be that person. Korach had no expectation to be the Kohen Gadol. He had no expectation to be the Sagan Kohen Gadol. He had no expectation to be Moshe's assistant. What did he want? He wanted something which, relatively speaking, was very minor. He wanted to have to be to be in charge, to be the Nasi of Shevet. Of the bridge, the base of mayor. What's going on? He wanted to be in charge of the base av of Kohos, which the Torah says had 8,600 people. That's what Rashi says. Niskano al nisiusoy shel elitzafon ben Uziel sheminuhu Moshe nosi al bnei Kohos al pi hadibur. Why Taka did Moshe Rabbeinu not appoint him to be the leader of this group? Is because Hashem said not. Hashem v'al pi hadibur. It's nothing personal. The Ribbono Shel Olam has decided. It's a prophecy. This is who Hashem wants to be in charge. Amar Korach, it's not fair. Amram had four children. Amar Korach, Achei Abba Arbo Hayu, Shenemar B'nei Kohos, Amram HaBachor. Okay, I got Amram. Kohos had four. Amram.
Yeah, Kohos.
Kohos had four children. Amram Habachar. Okay, he had four children. Kohos. Four children. Who was the oldest? Amram. Who? So if the oldest, the Bukhar came, HaBukhar Nadlu Shnei Bon of Gedula. Okay, very nice. Amram, the oldest child of Kohos, got two positions in this organization. The Melech and the Kohen Gadol. Echad Melech Vech Kohen Gadol. So now there are three more children. So we would assume the second child, his son, in other words, Amram's brother, is the next one in line, that in his line should be an appointee. There's an opening in Klal Yisrael. Who should be the appointee? The second. Amram already got in his line, his family got two positions. Malchus, Moshe, and Kohuna, Aaron. Now is the second brother. It should go down that line, and that would be me. Korach ben Yitzhar. Right. Yitzhar was, Yitzhar was the second brother. Mi roi li to les ha-shniya, lo yani, shani ben Yitzhar, shu sheni li Amram. And you know what Moshe did? He passed over the second brother, Yitzhar. Lo v'hu mon es nasi, shol bei sach la-kot nikulam, he went to the youngest brother, brother number four. Ze lo fair. So what did he do? He rose up. He conspired, he made a lot of trouble, a lot of noise, and we have a parasha called Korach, a very ugly story in Klal Yisrael. Now, when you go to the Pesukim and you read about Korach, what did Korach himself want? It's clear as day, the only thing that he wanted was to be the Kohen Gadol. Excuse me, that's not what Rashi says. Rashi says the problem all started, he wanted to be the Nasi, the leader of Kohos, which was a minor position. It was a branch, one of the Bote Av in Shevet Levi. And all of a sudden, from not being appointed a minor position over 8,600 people, he now has a complaint. Why am I not the spiritual, the chief rabbi, the spiritual leader of 603,550 people? How do you jump from 8,000, I want a job, you come to an institution, I want a job, I want to be the janitor. I want to get a, no, we don't like you. So you go and you take the company to court, how come I'm not the CEO? That's exactly what happens over here in the Six Fire Show. I don't even finish here. Let's go further. Dosan va'aviram. Once Korach already decided to, to sue Klal Yisrael, how come I'm not the Kohen Gadol, I'm not the CEO? Who joins the bandwagon? Dosan va'aviram. What do you want? What do you want, Dosan va'aviram? We want to get rid of Moshe. We want the prize. Korach wants to get rid of Aroi, and Korach will take his place. And Dosan va'Aviron want to get rid of Moshe. Explicit. So it doesn't say. That's a very good question. That's a very good question. What exactly? Who do they want? Who do they want to put in his place? It's a very good question. What? Get rid of Moshe. But Korach wanted to become Gadol. I have to understand something. This is a very interesting point, because when Korach went to campaign the night before they brought the Ketores, Rashi there says that he went to all of the people in Klal Yisrael and he says, "You think I'm fighting for myself? I'm fighting for you. Oh, really? You're fighting for you, for all of us. So why then do you want to be the Kohen Gadol? Why don't you, Korach, be like Dosan va'Aviram? Dosan va'Aviram says, I'm fighting for Klal Yisrael.
Well,
what?
They are from Shevet.
But they weren't the leader. But they weren't in line to begin. Let's say Dosan va'Aviram would have been successful in causing Moshe to step down. who would now replace Moshe? It doesn't say. Korach wanted to be the Kohen Gadol. That's clear. Dasan Vavidan just wanted to get rid of Moshe. Doesn't say that Dasan Vavidan wanted to take over the leadership. Doesn't say that anymore. So, you know, when the person comes and makes a fight, what's your goal? What's your goal? So my goal is, this one should step Haman Harash. Haman wanted to get rid of Vashti. Why? Who's better? Kamala? Harris? Who's going to replace Vashti? Who? Who are you going to replace her with? Who? My daughter. Oh! Now we understand why Haman wants to get rid of her. What do you care, Vashti? Vashti hates the Jews. Vashti hates the Jews more than you. Why do you want to get rid of someone that will be on your team? Haman hates the Jews. Vashti hates the Jews even more. So she's the perfect person. So let Vashti remain the queen. What are you trying to campaign and manipulate Achashverosh to get rid of Vashti? I have a Negius. I have a daughter. I want her to be the queen. Even though my daughter, who says she hates the Jews? Bnei Banav Shel Haman, Lamdu Torah, Bnei Barak. Maybe it was that daughter. Who was not to say it was that daughter that he wanted to make the queen? Maybe it was that daughter that had the Eidekot that was learning Torah in Bnei Barak. Who? How do you know it wasn't that daughter that came to Kinglach in Bnei Barak? Vashti would have wiped out Klal Yisrael in a second. Vashti was the granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar. She couldn't wait to finish off the job. Haman did himself in.
When the daughter jumped down afterwards.
Was that the same daughter? Okay, so maybe it was the same daughter. Haman had many children, obviously. Haman had many sons. How many daughters did he have? So if you want to connect all the dots, which I'm sure some will want to say, it's the same daughter. You can say from her came the Bnei Banav Shel Haman Lamdu Bnei Barak. Who says, we don't know. I don't know which daughter. And the daughter jumped off the roof. Haman didn't, and she wanted her to become the queen. If he would have behaved himself and let Vashti be the queen, he would have had everything he wanted eventually. He should be the queen, but here, look what he did. He did himself in. Why? He had Negius. So, Korach had Negius. I want to be the Kohen Gadol. Dasan Va'avidim were much more potent, much more lethal than Korach. Because Dasan Va'avidim did nothing to gain. What did they have to gain? It doesn't say anywhere, to the best of my knowledge, that Dasan Va'avidim anything to gain. Rashi says that what Korach did the night before they brought the Ketores was leitzonos. It was entertainment. He's going from tent to tent, telling everyone, you think I'm fighting for myself? I'm fighting for you. For you. Look at this man, Moshe. Moshe, he took all the power for himself. Rashi says his argument was leitzonos. That's a very powerful word. You know why it's leitzonos? Korach, if you're really fighting for us, who has the most to gain from your success? You! You have the most to gain from this plan. You're the one who will become now the new Kohen Gadol. That's called late songs. If you have nothing to gain and you're really serious that I'm fighting for you, I'm not fighting for me, okay, you know, then we believe you. But you're fighting for yourself. And you're just telling us, it's a joke what you're telling. Rashi says it was a joke. Dasan Va'aviram, it was no joke. Because Dasan Va'aviram L'chor had nothing to gain. They had nothing to gain. In fact, Dasan Va'aviram, we know they were the ones that were mukim. That when then the Paru said to Klaus, Paru said, I'm no longer going to provide the straw and for the bricks. So they appointed the taskmasters. Who were the people that were appointed to be in charge to make sure that the Jews provide enough straw for the bricks? Dasan Va'avidan. And when the quota was not filled, who was the one that got a beating? Dasan Va'avidan. Dasan Va'avidan already proved to Klal Yisrael, we're fighting for you. Contrast the argument of Korach and the argument of Dasan Va'avidan. Dasan Va'avidan were celebrities. They were the people who were in charge to make sure that they produced enough bricks. And if there were not enough bricks, who took the beatings? They took the beatings. Willingly. We're fighting for you. If we succeed in getting rid of Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, who's going to replace? Not me.
not Dosa, not Aviram. We're fighting, therefore, they were legitimate in their arguments. Korach, Rashi says, was a late, the joker. What have you done for Klal Yisrael lately? What have you done for Klal Yisrael? What are you? You're a rich, filthy rich man.
Yeah.
You found the key, you found the wealth. Whose wealth did he find? Whose keys? He had.
No, that's the measure.
He had phenomenal wealth.
It was from Yosef.
From Yosef. He found the wealth of the tribe from Yosef. He's phenomenally rich. What have you done for Klal Yisrael lately? Have you lifted up a finger? Nothing. And now you come and you tell us, like a politician, I'm fighting for you. It's all baloney. You have your investments all over the world. You need to get into government to go manipulate all these big companies to go and to change the laws to do this in order that you become even richer and richer. You're phony. You're fighting for us. Rashi says Leitzonus.
Omer's wife.
Leitzonus. Okay, so you're right. There's another point. Now going back over here. We have over here, and what they wanted to depose Moshe. And they actually said it. They said, Moshe, what have you done for us? You took us out of Egypt, the land that flows with milk and honey. They called Mitzrayim the land that flows with milk and honey. And you brought us into a desert. We have nothing to do, nothing over here. And you didn't fulfill your promises of what you're going to do for us. So Dasan Vaviron, they went even further to get rid of Moshe Rabbeinu. So, and then you have Oren ben Peles, you're right, and nothing to gain altogether. Oren ben Peles was a nobody. He didn't do anything with Klal Yisrael anyway, and he had nothing to gain. So, okay, he's a separate parasha. The point over here is, the tragedy of this story, and this is a Musa Haskel, is Rashi begins and says, how did this whole thing start? Dosan Va'aviron, it appears from the reading of the Pesukim, on their own, did not have the chutzpah to initiate a machlekes. They had an old fight with Moshe Rabbeinu. Maybe we'll talk about going back to the time of Vayar Ki Einish. Moshe said to them back in the day, Rosha, Lama Sakeh Esreyecha. Dosan Va'aviron hated Moshe because Moshe called them out. Rosha, he called them, both of you are Rishon. I don't want to get into trouble with you now, but one of Trump's biggest problems is he calls them out for what they are in a very, very public way. And he created for himself enemies of intensity that's beyond belief. He called them exactly what they are. Russia. But Moshe had that exact same problem. Moshe, the first day, he laid his eyes and he said to Dosanim, Rosha! Rosha! Lama sake esreyecha! And what happened? Moshe was right. Moshe was 100% right. However, you calling me a Rosha? Who are you? Mi samcha le'isar v'shevet aleinu. Hal hargeni ato imer. You're right. I'm a Rosha. Who are you to call me a Rasha?
Moshe was living in luxury.
Who are you to call me a Rasha? Was Moshe right? 100%. This is the reality of this world. Okay, we're not coming over here to go into this, but Moshe, Dosan Va'aviron hated Moshe with an intensity that's not to be believed, with a chutzpah that only over the 43 years that they knew Moshe Rabbeinu blossomed, mushroomed, into an intensity. They spoke to him in this week's parsha with the chutzpah that you can't even get a PhD for such chutzpah.
Yeah,
the man, they took the man out in order to fight, to make Moshe look bad. They took the man out on Shabbos in order that Moshe should look bad, that he's a liar with regard to the man. And we needed the birds to come and save us.
Dasan
Va'aviron, whenever there's trouble, they're there. And they spoke to Moshe with chutzpah noira. Why? What toiva did Moshe ever do to them that they should hate him so much? Very, very simple. Very simple. The Torah says, "Vayar Moshe vayetze elecha from Parsha Shemos, vayar b'sivloisam, vayar ish make ish ivri me'echav, vayif me'echav." I remember. Vayomer lo rosha.
Lomosake Reyecha. Rashi, Reyecha, Rasha Kimoyscha. He called them names. Both of you are Rishoy. You call a person a Rasha, it's like calling someone Little Rocket Man. crooked Hillary. Okay? Sleepy Joe.
I don't understand why you say that Rishay Vadeh of the top up.
What?
There were older people already going on. They had little infants and they still had infants.
I don't know. The 8 o'clock, maybe with the 8 o'clock, or 8 o'clock, the grandchildren. Who pays tuition? Who is paying the tuition? If they were paying the tuition, they're his kids. Okay, God will violate. Okay, when you call someone Sleepy Joe, Crooked Hillary, and a Little Rocket Man, and what does he call Pelosi? What does he call Pelosi? And you call this person fat. When you do that, even though you're right. No one's saying you're wrong. You're right. Unfortunately, the way the world works is it creates a dynamic where you don't forget that. And the hate germinates, blossoms, and it becomes a very big problem. They hated Moshe Rabbeinu with an intensity. And what do they want to do? They want to get rid of Moshe Rabbeinu. But would they have at this moment in time risen up against Moshe to destroy him? No. They needed a leader, a person that would jump into the hot bath and get burnt for them first. And who was the one that struck the match? It was Korach. What is Korach? What's his agenda? Oh, I want to be the Kohen Gadol. Along comes Rashi. Rashi says he didn't really want to be the Kohen Gadol. That wasn't what he originally, even though it says in the Pasuk he did, that wasn't what he originally wanted. You know what he originally wanted, Korach? Korach wanted to be a leader, a community leader. He wanted to be the president of his shul. He wanted to be the leader over 8,600. That's all he wanted. He never told that to anyone. And from that insult, he decides now we're going to get rid of Aaron. And Dasan Vavim joined the bandwagon. We're going to get rid of Moshe. The 200, and all of the, according to Chazal, according to the Ramban, all of the firstborns. Now, we're very excited. Now we're going to get back our jobs. Because originally, who was supposed to do the service in the Beis HaMikdash? The firstborns. And who? Why did they lose it? The Egel. When they worshipped the Egel, Hashem, Moshe took away from them. No longer are you going to be the firstborn. No longer the firstborns going to do the service. We're now giving the service over to the Kohanim. We need a whole new system. A whole new system a whole new system was put into place. The firstborns were very upset. Oh, let's take back what we want now. There was someone struck a match, and everyone let all of their baggage hang out in the most ugly, violent way. And where did it all start? Because one person was insulted that he did not get a second serving of dessert. It was a small matter that ignited World War III. If Korach would have gotten to become a Nasi over Kohos, not 8,600 people, what do? That was a base af. That wasn't leader of a Shevet. It wasn't a manik of the Klal Yisrael. What did he do? Did almost nothing. I mean, it doesn't say they did anything of major significance. They did not inaugurate the Mishkan.
He organized public
learning. What did he do? But you know, I need it. Every person has a need. And when I didn't get what I needed, whoo! Now World War III broke out. A little teeny insult. A little, what we consider to be something very, very minor, it mushroomed into the whole world came to an end. Now the whole Klal Yisrael is rising against Moshe. Moshe says in Briya Yivra Hashem, Upatz Aretz Espia, the earth has to open up and swallow these people, and we have a stain in our history of a machlekes Korach va'adosai, Dosan va'aviram, and Oin Ben Peles and this and that and the 250 men, and then there's a Magefa, and then they are, we have to make a Zikaron of plates, the copper, the Mizbeach was plated with the pans of the Ketores and all the halachas and the aftermath, the collateral damage from what? One person didn't get what he wanted. A small thing. He wanted to be a community leader of 8,200 people to lead them. What do they do? What do you do as a community leader of 8,200 people? What do you do? You give a drasha? You're the gabbai? I don't know. It was obviously a chashuva position, but there were many people that had this position. There's a rule in Kavod. If everyone is chashuv, no one is chashuv. There are a lot of people in that position, being the leader of a batei av. There are many, numerous batei av in Klal Yisrael. Every shevet has numerous, what's called a batei av, a leader of a tribe, of a branch. What he wanted was to be the leader of his specific branch. There were a lot of people like him, dime a dozen. So if everyone is chashuv, no one is chashuv. So it cannot be that this position that he wanted was so significant. Okay? He wasn't a senator. He wasn't the president. He wasn't a prime minister. He wasn't the head of state. Everyone's coming to ask him, you know, what do you say? They weren't coming to run to him to ask him his advice in the position that he wanted to receive. But yet, he was so hurt that he wanted to burn down the whole world, destroy the whole world. What's the Musa? And how do you look at this? So mitzad echad, you know, on a practical level, in our own lives, when we deal with people, don't underestimate small things. Never underestimate, you're a rabbi, you're a president, you deal with people in the shul, in the community, you have a business. Don't underestimate. There are people who are good people, who are deserving. Be very, very careful. To you, it may seem to be insignificant. But to that person, it means a lot. Now, once upon a time, I went to rabbi training school. Rabbi school. They train you on the practical elements of being a rabbi. All practical matters. No halacha, no halacha, but basically to teach you things that you would not, just the basic practical things you need to know about being a rabbi. And I remember one rabbi, he was discussing funerals. His specialty was you know, how to officiate at a funeral. And he said, at a funeral, you're a rabbi, don't forget to memorize the names of all the people in the family. Person dies, know how many children he had, and know their names, and memorize their names very well. And when you get up to give your eulogy, you should rattle off their names. So I'm sitting and listening to this. I'm thinking, like, who cares? Like, you know, why is that so important? So the rabbi right away says, you think I'm crazy. Like, oh, what's the big deal? So you have to go say their names. The people in the audience, you've been to a funeral many times, and the rabbi rattles off the names of the people, and you're listening. You couldn't care less. You, a participant in the audience, you don't care about the name, you don't care all these names. But he says, yeah, because you're not a member of the family. But for the people there in this state of mourning, just saying their name is very powerful. And it's impossible for you to appreciate that until Rahman al-Sun, if you've been in that position. Little things that to you mean nothing, to other people are explosive. Let's take an example. Korach, he wanted something that was considered a position that was considered to be something relatively minor. And Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not Moshe's fault. Moshe told Al Pi Adibor, you're not getting it. I'm not making decisions here. But yet Korach went berserk. And his complaint against Moshe was not about how come you didn't make me the Nasi, the president of my shul. Why are you the Kohen Gadol? I want to be the Kohen Gadol. That sparked Dasan. Why is Moshe the leader? All the firstborns, why don't we all do this service? Literally, World War III broke out over a trivial matter. Now, you'll say, well, it's not a kasha. If it wouldn't have broken out over this, it would have broken out over something else. It's like the story of Kamsa bar Kamsa. The Gemara gives a whole list of all the different examples of why was Yerushalayim Charav, why was Beit HaCharav, why was this, I forgot, all the different places that was Charav. And the Gemara gives you these trivial little stories. A guy went to a wedding, and they threw him out of the wedding. From there, he was upset, so he sent an email to the Kesar. The Jews are rebelling. Really, Chazal said the reason why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed was because of Sinas Chinam, not because one particular guy was thrown out of the wedding. Okay, you'll tell me it's all related. If this wedding would not have taken place, there would have been another story that would have happened, another trigger that would have caused the Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed. If the situation is such that there is a need for Hashem to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, it's going to happen. Doesn't make a difference. Did the spark come from this Kamsa bar Kamsa, or the spark came from Baruch and Reboruch? Okay, another story, another incident that happened somewhere in Klal Yisrael, which will be the trigger. It's going to happen, it's going to happen. If we have over here a story with Korach, an insurrection against Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, obviously there was, it was brewing in Klal Yisrael resentment. If this story can happen, so who was the trigger? Korach happened to be the trigger. Korach, a Kleinikite. He didn't make me the president of my shul. I wanted to be the leader of a base of 8,600 people. I didn't get it. And now there's the whole World War III broke out. If Korach, what would have happened if Korach would have gotten what he wants? He would have been appointed the leader of his 8,600 people. Is that to say that Dasan Va'aziram and the firstborns and all the people in Klal Yisrael that were resentful, had resentment and frustration because they're not going, as Chazal say, now we're not going into Eretz Yisrael for 40 years, we're going to die in the desert, and we're stuck here, Moshe, it's your fault. There was incredible agitation and bad feeling in Klal Yisrael towards Moshe Rabbeinu at this point in time, right after the miracle. This event would have happened anyway. Anyway, it would have happened. That was the culture. It was set up for this. That's what the Ramban says. There was the miraglin. You're all going to die here in the desert. Rashi says in Pasha, you made a gzera upon us that we're all going to die in the desert, and you took us out of Eretz Zavas Chol V'Dvash into the desert. There was the firstborns were frustrated. Dos and Vavi were always looking for a good shot. It would have happened anyway, the insurrection. That's right. It would have happened anyway. But yet, I don't have an answer for this, yet there is still something as to the trigger. The trigger, there's a lesson in the trigger. Yerushalayim was chora because of Kamsa bar Kamsa. Kamsa bar Kamsa happens every night in Flatbush. It happens all the time, Kamsa bar Kamsa. Chas v'shalom, I don't mean like that, but you understand. You go to a wedding. I was sitting this 2 weeks ago, I was sitting next to a Rav, a very chash of a Rav, at a wedding literally a week ago. I know which wedding it was, okay? I remember the wedding now. So walked in, I almost never go to a wedding anymore. Walked into the chuppah, and he was, let's sit down. And I sat down next to him, and they called out the brachas. Mechubit, with the first bracha, Rabbi so-and-so. The second bracha, Rabbi so-and-so. So I was watching the rabbi, because this rabbi, I have no doubt, was expecting to get a bracha. And Mechubit, this is not the bracha achrita. Mechubit, so-and-so, and it wasn't him. So I was sitting mamish next to him, and I said to myself, he must be very insulted.
I didn't know he was expecting.
He was. I know. I have a sense that he was expecting. It can't be he wasn't. Why did he come to the chuppah? What?
Didn't he come late?
He came on time. He walked in with Dawi. Before the chuppah, we walked in on time together. Why did he come? If he wanted to come, he would have come later and played just the same master for the dancing. He came for the chuppah. What? They knew he was there for sure. They couldn't give him. They were relatives and this you know, everything is a cheshbon. There's collateral damage. So Yonig is insulted. Of course he's Michael Belev Shalom. Of course. But you know, people have expectations in life.
That's why he's supposed to call them before him and explain it.
I'm actually trying to make a point. The point is that Kamsa Bar Kamsa is a horrible, horrible story. This is the reason why Klal Yisrael is Choraf. This is the reason why there's a Churban. It's just shocking. Well, the answer is, so what is the answer? The answer is, there's a message. Hashem B'Hashkocha Pratis selected specifically, if it wasn't Kamsa Bar Kamsa, it would have been another event that would have happened, that would have triggered the Churban Beis HaMikdash. But B'Hashkocha Pratis, Hashem selected this to be the event. Because there's something to learn from it. There's something very critical to learn. First, Tisha B'Av is what to learn. Koirach, this is the Kamsa Bar Kamsa. It's an insignificant event. No, they pass you over to be the leader of the Beis Av of 8,600 people. That means you have to go destroy Klal Yisrael? It was going to happen anyway. Rashi says Al Pi Hadibur. It was Al Pi Hadibur. Should Moshe explain and apologize to him? We're not going there. Al Pi Hadibur. Rashi says Al Pi Hadibur. Karach was on a level he should have appreciated Al Pi Hadibur. And he just couldn't live with it. He couldn't live with it. And therefore he lied. He mamish lied. And he says, my complaint is about I want to be the Kohen Gadol. You know, when a person is disappointed, he acts in an irrational, crazy way. And that Dosan Vavim, they come out of the closet. This is a field day for them. And then the firstborns come out of the closet. And then this one comes, that one comes. Oh, you know, if this is what happened, it means it would have happened anyway. You're just looking for an opportunity to make it happen. It would have happened anyway, this insurrection against Moshe there, for sure. Can't be. This was the trigger. It's the Hashkocha Pratis, this was the trigger. Why? To dwell upon it. To teach us, be very careful in life. No one's blaming Moshe Rabbeinu. Chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom. But this person was disappointed. This, just like we learn, we dwell upon Kamsa Bar Kamsa. We dwell upon that story. Why dwell upon that story? That's not the reason for the Churban. The Churban, there are much bigger issues. It would have happened anyway. But if this is how the Churban happened, it's the Hashkacha to dwell upon the details of this story and learn from it. If this was the trigger, what caused the insurrection, there's something to learn. And that is, don't take anyone for granted. There are people, little people in this world, that have expectations. They work hard, they're honest. Everyone needs, you know, you need to be recognized. You need to be appreciated. And if people are frustrated, it's not a good thing. It can cause them to behave in an irrational way. It's a responsibility that anyone in a position of authority has to give. It's a whole different situation. Al pi hadibur. But this was the trigger. We, on our level, have to take from this Musar. Forget about Moshe Rabbeinu. That there's no complaint. Chas v'shalom against Moshe. But we, on our level, you look at the story of Korach. There's what to take Musar. You have a person, a kleinikai. This triggered a whole storm? Yeah. Be careful. Be careful. Don't take people for granted. Okay, I wanted to tell you another part. This is a very important part. There's a very powerful Rashi which I think opens up a whole world of commentary to this story. Rashi here says that when Dosan Vavidim came to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he said to Moshe, Moshe, who are you, Moshe? You promised to take us out of Adam. You took us out of the land that flows with milk and honey. Terrible chutzpah to call Egypt Zobas Chol Vash. You took us to the desert. You didn't do anything for us. Even if you'll poke at our eyes, we're not going to come and be subordinate to you. Moshe heard all these nasty things. It says in the pasuk, "Vayichar leMoshe meod." Vayichar leMoshe meod. Rashi says, "What does it mean vayichar?" It doesn't mean he was angry. It means he had tsar. Let me find the Rashi.
He was distressed.
Ad meod. Rashi adds in one word. Please give me one moment to find the pasuk. Which pasuk is it? Here it is. Hamad ki helisanim le'eretz zavas chol vash la'miseli ba'midbar. You the cause of all of us dying in the desert. Ki sistorer aleinu gam hisstorer. You lord over us. You didn't give me promises. Because eretz zavas ha'einecho anashim ochim tinakel lo naleh. Vayichar le'moshe me'oid. Moshe was furious. Rashi. Pasuk tezvav. Vayichal leMoshe meod nitzta'er ad. Rashi adds in a word, ad lima'od. There's another place we have the word in the pasuk, not in the Rashi, ad me'od, by Yitzchak. When Yitzchak gave the brachos to Yaakov, he was fooled. He was deceived. He gave the brachos to Yaakov. In walks in Esau. Father, stand up, I have the food. Let's now go forward with the blessings. Vayecherad, when Yitzchak realized that he was fooled, Vayecherad, Yitzchak, Charado, Gidoylo, Ad Me'od. Chazal there say, what does it mean? He's terrified. What does it mean, Ad Me'od? What's with Ad Me'od? So they darshan it to mean, he was more terrified at that moment than the moment when he was offered as a korban on the Akedah. When Aaron Avinu tied him up, Vayikach es hamacheles l'shchoites v'noi, it's the moment of truth. I'm now going to die. I'm now going to be slaughtered as a sacrifice to Hashem. You don't think it's scary? It's certainly not pleasant. There was a charoda. I'm about to die. 36 years old. I'm about to die. 37 years old. I'm about to die. Karbon LaHashem. He was terrified. Miracle happened. Don't touch him. Miracle, he survived. Fast forward. He's now a zokei, vatichene enof. He gives the brachas to who he thinks is Esav. He discovers that he was fooled. It was someone else. Vayechad yitzchagodo gidoylo. He's terrified. What did I do? I'm more terrified now than I was at the akedah. Ad me'od. Ad mon means yoiser. Then another time. If you just say he was afraid, okay, you're afraid. When it says ad means more. It's interpreted by Chazal to I'm afraid now more than I was afraid last time. If you just say, I'm afraid, oh, what did I do? I gave the brachas to the wrong person. No, every day people are afraid. You go and you sit in the car with Mayor Appelt of driving the car, you're also afraid.
I'm also afraid.
You're afraid.
That's why he closes his eyes.
Ad mode means I'm afraid now more than I was afraid last time. What was last time? The Akedah. Okay, take that vart, take that concept, and plug it into this pasuk. Vayichar leMoshe meod. Rashi says, don't chat me with the dittuk. Don't get me on what it says. Let me tell you what it means, for real. Vayicha l'moshe, first of all, vayicha doesn't mean angry. Vayicha means tsar, pain. And when it says me'od, Rashi, Pasuk Tezvav, Vayicha l'moshe me'od nitzta'er ad l'me'od. Here's the word ad. When else do we find Moshe having tsar? We find it a very similar story, but the roles are reversed. When Moshe is instructed by Hashem to redeem the Jewish people, and Moshe goes to Paro, Paro, shlachani, let my people go. Moshe walks out, Paro says to his advisors, I see the Jewish people, they have too much time on their hands. They're thinking about leaving, fantasizing. What's going on over here? They have too much time on their hands. Don't give them straw. Let them do that themselves. Take away their free time so they won't complain about fantasizing about going free. The word goes out, everyone has to go out into the hot fields and collect the straw themselves. When Moshe came and passed them, they cursed Moshe. They said to Moshe, such incredible things, such nasty things, the very end of the parasha. Vayavo shaitrei v'neishol vayitzako paralemor. They see Moshe. Vayiru shaitrei v'neishol esam biro lemor. Vayifke'u es Moshe v'es Aaron. He told me to go some of the Mishraim. Vayomer aleim. Yire Hashem aleichem v'yishvot. May God judge what you did to us. Moshe, you're worse than Paro. Paro at least gave us the straw. You made it worse. We have to now, because of you, we have to go collect the straw. The mamish cursed Moshe. The yishpoit, may God judge you. Asher hiv ashtem esrichenu. You have caused us, our spirit has been diminished, has been anguish. You brought upon our rechenu. Moshe is shaking to the core. He's shaking to the core. What did I do? I now caused the Jewish people to suffer even more. So what does Moshe do? Moshe goes to Hashem. He runs to Hashem. Vayashav Moshe Hashem vayomar. Hashem. Lomo hareyoysa lom hazeh. Ribbono shel olam, you don't know what you're doing. You send me. Lama ze shelachtani. Umeoz bossi el paro ledaber b'shmecha. Heira l'om hazeh. Your plan is doesn't work. V'hatzel lo hitzalta. You told me that I'm going to be the agent to save the people. Hashem, your plan is not going. It's not working. Moshe here is basically what I'm trying to bring out over here is, Moshe here says to Hashem the same thing that Dosan Va'aviram said to Moshe. Why did Dosan Va'aviram talk like this to Moshe Rabbeinu? It was Hashem giving Musa to Moshe. How dare you talk to me like that? How do you know that's the pshat? How do you know that's the pshat? That it's a neither connected neither? Because Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, that's how you talk to me. I have a plan. You don't understand the plan? That's your problem. That's your problem. But I got a plan. I know what I'm doing. You're the one that doesn't understand. You're coming to me, complaining to me, Hashem, you can't do it. It's not working. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, atos sire, you're going to see what it's like. The day will come when you will have a plan and the people will come and say, Moshe, your plan is not working. Your plan is not working. It's time for you to step down. You're coming to me and telling me my plan isn't working and, you know, we have to change course. Ato sire asher eseh lifaro. You're going to see what I'm going to do to Parki. V'yod chazoko yishalchem, v'yod chazoko yigorshem yaretzo. Moshe Rabbeinu, in this moment, when this whole thing, when the people came to him, and they said, Moshe, you know, look what you've done to us. Yishpoit Hashem. Hashem should judge you. Asher hivashtem esrecheinu. What? How did Moshe react? I had a lot of tzar. Enormous, enormous pain. How do you know he had so much pain? How do you know? Prove to me that he had pain, because he says to Hashem some extremely harsh words. You only say this if you're in pain. Vayomer Moshe Hashem, Lama Hari Yisalam Hazeh, Lama Zeh Shalachtani. Those words only come from tzar. He was in a lot of pain. Now they're in the desert. Things aren't going so well. It was Meraglin, there's the Egel, the Misoinenin. Things aren't going so well. Now we got a Koirach. He didn't get what he wanted, he got insulted. He makes complaints, and then joins the bandwagon, all these other people that just know how to make trouble, Dasan Aviram. Things aren't going so well. And then they come to Moshe. Moshe! Lama hare yoisa la'om hazeh. What are you doing here? V'hatzeh lo hitzalta. They're basically spitting back to Moshe the same exact words that Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem. Moshe is guilty of exactly the same complaint. And what does Moshe do now? He has tzar. He has more tzar now than he had before. Why does he have more tzar now? Vayichar leMoshe me'oid, Rashi. Moshe has tzar nitzta'er ad leMoid. What is Moshe really having tzar about? Their complaints? No. He has tzar that he had tzar. He has tzar. Wow. Now when I'm in the driver's seat, I have a different perspective. I now have tzar. How could it be that I had tzar and spoke to Hashem with chutzpah back in the day, back before when this whole thing happened? What they're saying to me, I know is wrong. I know there's a plan. I see the big picture. This is a bump in the road. I know things are going to be good. They just don't understand how everything's going to come into, everything's going to work out. They don't understand, but I understand. And then I realize, but when a few years ago, I did exactly the same crime. When I did not understand Hashem's divine plan of how all everything's going to work out, I said exactly the same thing to Hashem in my state of frustration. Now I have even more tzar. How could it be that I spoke to Hashem with disrespect than the tzar I had when I spoke to him with disrespect? I had tzar, and because I had tzar, I spoke to Hashem in disrespect. But now that I realize how foolish I was, the tzar of realizing my mistake is even greater than the tzar that I had when I spoke to Hashem, because now I see. This whole episode is just an episode for Moshe Rabbeinu to reflect and develop a more powerful, a greater emunah in Hashem. And the greater emunah our leader has in Hashem, the Mela trickles down to Klal Yisrael. The Mela, they will benefit from the emunah of Hashem. So this be'etzem is just a repeat. It is Dasan Vavim coming to complain to Moshe Rabbeinu is just a reminder, because they say, look at what they say. They say Hamaat ki he alisanu me'eret zavas chol v'dvash v'amisein b'amidbar. You took us out of a beautiful land to die in the desert. It's not working. It's exactly what Moshe said to Hashem. And it's also interesting the language he used in response. When in response to Korach, he says, make another deek in the pasuk. Vayoymer Moshe el Korach ato v'chol adoscho heyu lifnei Hashem ato v'heim v'aron mocha. Why does Moshe say to Korach and his people, I want you to stand before Hashem. Moshe punishes him. What is this before Hashem? In Beis Din, the halacha is that when Beis Din executes a person, you take him out. You take him out to the Beis Haskilah far, far away. Now Hashem is everywhere, but obviously there are different darugas of Hashem, the intensity of the Shtuna. When you execute a person, you punish a person, you punish them far away. You don't want to contaminate the land with murdering the person who's out to the earth. Moshe demanded that they be put to death. The whole experience was in the presence of the Shtuna. The next day, indeed, the Anan HaKavod came down, because when Moshe was coming to confess, Moshe was also confessing for himself. When Moshe was coming to confess, and he was telling them that Hashem has sent me, and Moshe brings the Ketores, he's not only bringing the Ketores as a technique, the Sam Hamoves, to get rid of them. He's also coming to ask Mechila from Hashem for his own mistake. Because I'm part of you. He's basically saying to the people of Korach, Mechol Adaso, you know, I'm also part of your team. I'm also a rebel. You have rebelled against me. The truth is, I'm just as bad as you. Because I did exactly the same thing to Hashem back in the end of Parsha Shemos. The only difference, though, between you and me is I'm doing teshuvah and you're not. Moshe begged them, just say you're sorry. Stand down. Rashi says Moshe called them to come. She'en machzikin b'machloikis. He tried to persuade them. Then this one didn't want, Korach didn't want, let me at least try to work on Korach, Adasam v'Avir, let's make peace with them. They didn't want, let me try to make peace with the 250 people. Moshe tried desperately, do teshuva, you're going down the wrong path. I'm also doing teshuva. I'm also part of the problem. Moshe had tsar because I'm also guilty of this aveir. We're all guilty in this aveir. What's happening here to me is just a reminder I have the same problem. So let's all do teshuvah. Hey, you lifnei Hashem. All of you come tomorrow and let us all bring ketores to do teshuvah to Hashem, me included. The difference is they don't want to do teshuvah. They want to be machzik l'machlokes. But Moshe used this opportunity to say to Hashem, I'm sorry. How could it be that I challenge your leadership and not appreciate that there is indeed a divine plan? Okay, Rabbi, so we'll stop over here. Thank you for coming. Yeah. Sorry?
Is
it
yes,
from
what about Monday?
Yeah.